That's what I would call a great song. I like that. 2018, so it's only about 6 years old. I can just imagine youth groups around the country singing that song. You know, it sounds like a new youth song. And by the way, it's actually from the same psalm that I want you to turn to today, which is Psalm 136, which has "His love endures forever" multiple times, and we'll get to looking at that for a while. But this is Thanksgiving week, and so this is our perfunctory Thanksgiving sermon. You know, but it's a good thing every once in a while to think about thanking God. And Thanksgiving, of course, is one of those times of the year where we're really reminded of that. But you know, for most of us, I'm sure it's also family. Many of us are going to get together with family and do some things and get the fellowship and stuff. But it's also food. That's going to be great. And we celebrate really and say thanks to God with a feast, just like the Old Testament people did. And so that's a good thing for us to do. And the third F would be football. Well, maybe not such a big deal this year. However, we sure hope something happens for us and football. And if you know what I'm talking about, if you've got a Dallas Cowboy bone in your body, then you know this has not been a good year. And anyway, family, food, football, and really faith, the faith, and what the Bible has to say here about it. But Thanksgiving reminds us people have a talk line that they could call into and talk to staffers. And one of the stories I heard was that the staffer asked the caller, "What state is your turkey in?" And he meant, you know, is it frozen or how thawed it is and stuff like that. And the answer from the caller said, Florida. Well, if they were to ask you what state is your turkey in, it's probably going to be Texas. So you can talk about that to them and share that with them. But what state is your Thanksgiving in would be another good question. Psalm 136, though, ought to help us to know some things about Thanksgiving and to grow a little bit in our Thanksgiving, at least be reminded where we ought to be. So I just have four little thoughts for you. First one is having to do with Thanksgiving, that it should be a personal practice, should be just each one of us. We go to Thanksgiving with family and feasting and maybe football. But remember to personally thank God. Each of us should be thankful in expressing our thankfulness to God. I imagine most of us understand this. That maybe we could go a little deeper, though, and do like that first song, Count Your Many Blessings. I read the story this week of Johnson Oatman Jr., the one that wrote that. He was born in 1856, almost 100 years before I was born, and maybe some of you. Hopefully, most of you, none of you are very close to when he was born. You would be pretty old. But at any rate, his dad was a local merchant and was known as the best singer in town. That's Johnson Oatman Sr., his father. And Johnson Oatman Jr. wanted to get involved in music, too. He had a pretty good musical voice, but his father sang better. And, you know, so he just worked in the whatever craft that his father was involved in. He just followed his father in that, in the family business. Eventually went through some kind of seminary school and became a Methodist minister. And that continued for a good while. But at 36 years old, he finally realized that he really did have musical talent and began to write songs. Wrote over 5,000 songs. That's amazing. I mean, I haven't even written one. How about you? 5,000 songs. And his two favorite were No, Not One. Remember that song? There is the da-da-da-da-da-da, no, not one, no, not one. Also, he liked Higher Ground. I'm pressing on to higher ground. You know, I probably have that wrong. I don't have the notes in there as much. But the favorite song that he ever wrote, you already guessed it, didn't you? that all the world loved was Count Your Many Blessings, the song we just sang. And so that's the point of number one, personally count your many blessings. God has blessed us in so many ways. It's at times you have things that might cause a difficulty in counting your blessings. I know that we're experiencing a lot of that firsthand, but you can count your blessings anyway, even though there may be things in your life that you don't look at as a blessing in your life. And so count your blessings. That's number one. Number two, it should be a corporate practice. That means all of us together, we come together and we share Thanksgiving, which goes back to the family Thanksgiving we're talking about, but also just when you come together as the church, we are to thank God as we sing and as we pray. Just notice we've just been singing songs that have to do with thank yous. And I love that. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for, forget the rest of the words, saving my soul or making me whole. What a great song that you hear people. If you were to look at Psalm 136, there are 26 verses. And in the 26 verses, this was used in their assemblies to have somebody read the first line, and then the people would respond. And then he would read the next line, and the people would respond. He would say, for example, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And the congregation would say, his love endures forever. So let's just do that. Follow up with that particular quote. Number two, give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens. Who made great lights. The sun to govern the sky. The moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as an inheritance. An inheritance to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Amen. Over and over, his love endures forever. It reminded me, I was reading in the book of Exodus, in Exodus 33, where Moses wants God to pass in front of him and to see him. And God says that when I come by, you can't see my face, but as I pass by, you'll be able to see me. And so that event then takes place in Exodus 34, where the Lord himself, as he passes in front of Moses, this is Exodus 34:6, if you like to take notes. As he passed in front of Moses, the Lord himself said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And the congregation says, and his love endures forever. God himself, speaking of himself, focuses on all of these great traits that we depend on as God's people. Again, they said it 26 times. I noticed, though, if you were to look at your text, we just read it all, so I just want you to see it. Verses 4 through 8 talk about God's great wonders, his creation. The heavens were made, and the waters were spread upon the earth, and the land came out, and he made the lights, the sun, and the moon, and the stars, and all of those things has to do with what verse 4 calls his great wonders. And so we thank God for his great wonders, and we are just awed by God's wonders. I want to let you know, from a personal nature, I've been going out and praying at night, about 9 or 10 at night, just looking at the stars. My son did that a lot, and I know prayed to God. But so I'm out there praying too, and praying for you know, our family and my son, our son, and for us. And I noticed something that I'd never noticed before. It just struck me. I'm looking at the stars, praying for God's love and grace and mercy, you know. And I notice the constellation of the Southern Cross. And I thought, for the first time, folks, that was no accident, that when God created this world, he saw to it that the cross would be in the sky every night, that you would be able to see the cross. Look for it. Look for it when it gets dark and there's no clouds. Look for it. Look almost straight above, a little bit to the north if it's early in the night. It begins to move to the west and further north, kind of in a circle, a slight circle, and so it will dip down below the trees before 9 or 10 o'clock, and so you've got to kind of catch it. Straight above, around 8 o'clock at night, 7 maybe, the Southern Cross. And it's just looking just like the cross. It's not upside down to you. It's right side up. And you think, I thought, God, you didn't do that accidentally. You're telling the world, my son, and the cross will save your soul and is here to save people of the earth. Is that not wonderful? Has it never dawned on us, any of us? It did for me the first time, and it just shivers up my spine. Bible says in Ephesians 5:18-20, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And so I love that, because that's the corporate point we're making. Number two, we should have thanksgiving. We should thank God together. And there's a passage telling us that when we get together, we speak psalms and hymns and other tunes to one another, that we're giving thanks to God in many of those spiritual songs that we're singing as God's people. So again, thank God for our worship, time to go together and encourage each other, but also to praise God, just like they did in Psalm 136, and then you took a part in that as well, just like the Jewish people. Here's number three, that it should be a daily practice. Again, not just coming together on the Lord's Day or ever so often or once a year, you know, on Thanksgiving Day. Now, that's good if that's all you do. I mean, keep it up. Don't quit that one, but do some others well. Constantly and continually, as people, let's do pray and let's do thank God on a regular basis. Ephesians 5 again says, give thanks always and for all things. So think of what things you can thank God for in your life, and be sure and do that. I know at times it might be hard to give thanks, but do the best you can. Number four, it should be, and this is our final thought, it should be a conscious practice, something that we do on purpose, and we're we're not just following a rote routine that, you know, I need to pray God, thank God, and so I've got to do it every morning when I wake up. That's a good idea, by the way. But beyond that, make it something that you're doing on purpose, that you have a heart of gratitude, that you are a thankful person. I read this story of a man who found a barn where Satan kept his seeds ready to be sown in the human heart. He found that the seeds of discouragement were more numerous than the others, and he learned that those seeds could be made to grow almost everywhere. But Satan was questioned about that, and he had reluctantly admitted that there was one place in which he could never get those seeds of discouragement to thrive. When somebody asked him what it was, Satan replied, "In the heart of a thankful person." If you are a thankful person and you put your heart into thanking God, Satan's going to have trouble getting through to you in all kinds of ways. And so be sure and be thankful, and make sure it's something that you do purposely and you put your heart into it. You really do think about the blessings, and you really count the blessings, as Oatman says, and as we sing. And then you thank God for all those things that he's done for you, because God's done a great, a wonderful thing in our lives. So our focus is this week, most of us, going to be Thanksgiving, food, family, and maybe football. But be sure and don't get all swept up in that you don't stop and realize, wait a minute, this is actually Thanksgiving Day. And so let's give thanks to the Lord on this Thanksgiving and, of course, every day of our lives. Let's close with a prayer, and if we'll offer an invitation after this prayer. Let's bow. Our Father, we come before you, and we do thank you for all the things that we hear in this psalm and the example we see of those people. We know that your love endures forever, that you are a mighty, very gracious, very loving, very merciful God, and we're so thankful because we're imperfect human beings. We're like Paul when he talked to us in Romans 7 about his own struggles with the flesh he has and the spirit. And we know, Father, that your grace increases as much as above our sin. And so, Father, forgive us of our sins. But thank you for bringing Christ into this world and putting the cross in the sky to remind us every night that Jesus died for all of us. Bless us now as we go out throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.